You can buy books by my podcast guests and find other recommended arts and crafts techniques books by visiting uk.bookshop.org/shop/creativityfound. Don't worry, I've popped a link in the show notes. Plus, by buying from my shop, you'll be supporting this show with a little bit of affiliate loveliness. Thank you.
I'm really glad to have all the artists here today because we have a really, really special sitter. We've got quite a spectacular set and they are so close to winning this massive commission, this big prize. And I think any of these artists would be a really worthy winner.
I still can't quite believe that I'm one of only three artists painting today. I'm still waiting for someone to pinch me and wake me up from the dream.
I think I just felt a huge amount of joy at being in that situation. I felt very lucky and I just thought I'm going to enjoy this experience because I'm allowed to paint here for the rest of the day. And then I'll never do this again. And what I hadn't appreciated was that I had to do it two more times after that. The shock of getting through that first heat. I'm still shocked about it now. There were so many other fantastic artists there. For all the years leading up to that, I struggled even to say to people that I am an artist. And I think that whole experience of being on that programme just really affirmed to me that this is what I'm meant to be doing.
Hi, I'm Claire, founder of Creativity Found, a community for creative learners and educators, connecting adults who want to find a creative outlet with the artists and crafters who can help them do so with workshops, courses, online events and kits. For this podcast, I chat with people who have found or refound their creativity as adults. We explore their childhood experiences of the arts, discuss how they came to the artistic practices they now love, and consider the barriers they may have experienced between the two. We'll also explore what it is that people value and gain from their newfound artistic pursuits, and how their creative lives enrich their practical, necessary, everyday lives. If you listened to the first episode in this series with Sally Ward, you will know that Sally had to decline her well-earned place in Sky's Portrait Artist of the Year competition in 2019. But in 2020, she entered again, and to her utter surprise, made it all the way to the final. Sally painted Melanie Seitz, Bernardine Evaristo, and Eddie Izzard, and was very relieved that she didn't trip over any cables. Let's find out more.
I somehow ended up in the final of that competition the following year. You know, I think from the moment that I had to decline the place, I was then determined to give it my best shot the following year. So no duplicate competition entering. I remember going through all sorts of wrestles with what portrait I would submit, because obviously I'd been accepted with my first oil portrait, and I wrestled about whether to resubmit, because you can resubmit the same painting, and I thought it did get me through last time. But strangely, I felt that that wasn't the right thing to do, and so I did another self-portrait to enter the Sky competition. And I'm glad I did, because I just felt that it was important for me to demonstrate that it's not just about one painting, but it's about me as an artist. And I was developing so much in my ideas about portraiture at that point that to submit something that I'd done right at the beginning of the process, or, you know, 2 years before, just didn't feel right to me. So I wanted to demonstrate a progression. And again, I wanted to demonstrate that this was a serious thing for me. My development and my thoughts about where my portraiture was going was something that I also wanted to demonstrate. So I submitted that portrait in the end. And I'm sure, like everyone else who enters it, you just think, oh, have I done the right thing? But it was selected the following year. And the competition was filmed in the summer of 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic. So it was really touch and go throughout the beginning of that year about whether it would actually go ahead, because we were right in the middle of all those lockdowns. But amazingly, the people at Story Vault who produce the programme have an amazingly can-do attitude, and they made it work. It was brilliant. And so I went on the programme, hugely nerve-wracking, very stressful, but totally transformative. It was another one of those moments. I thought I'd completely bombed. I think I always do tend to think that I've bombed at something. And so the shock of getting through that first heat, I'm still shocked about it now. There were so many other fantastic artists there that day, and, you know, in the competition. I'm honestly, I was humbled by it then, and I still am. And so to my shock, I got through to the semi-final and had to go and book a load more time off work, which I hadn't been planning for. And I painted Melanie Sykes, model and presenter Melanie Sykes, in the heat, and then I went on to paint Booker Prize winner Bernardine Evaristo in the semi-final. And the semi-final was an incredibly, incredibly intense experience, more intense than the heat, because perhaps the stakes were a bit higher. Again, I wasn't expecting to get through at all, but I think I just wanted to grasp the opportunity and give it my best shot. And I don't think I've ever concentrated that hard for that long ever in my life. It was the most intense experience, and I only just finished the painting in time, and there was no room for error. And so, you know, it's a wonderful, again, surprise, but an amazing moment when they put me through to the final. And I got to paint Eddie Izzard, who, you know, had been someone I had admired for many, many years. I'd always just loved Eddie Izzard, and it was just a fantastic experience, even though it was very pressured and very stressful. Where would you get an experience like that?
Three such distinct artists. It's great seeing all of their work on the wall, and then you watch them today, they all just take such a different approach.
Yeah, but it's nice to see that consistency of style. You know, Curtis gets right in there with his little stool. Yeah. Kofi stands back, thinks long and hard and gently. Yeah. And then Sally quietly sort of grids up.
She's the most technical, isn't she? She's just sort of dissecting the light, the form. Curtis is very psychological. He's like, how do I get Eddie's spirit on this page? And Kofi, I think, somewhere between.
Yeah, you're making me realise even more how hard it's going to be to judge between them at the end. Yeah. But thank goodness we've got the commissions.
Oh, make or break those commissions. I hope they're good.
So it's hard enough being in a competition, probably in a situation that you're not normally in when you're painting at home. You know, you've got your time stipulations, you've got someone there that you admire, you've got other people around, production crew and what have you. Do you think that affected the work that was coming out, or affected you mentally, or did you get into a zone where you're like, I'll just pretend I'm at home in my home studio and I'll just work like I normally do?
I found it a really fascinating experience, because I would say, if I had predicted how I would have been in that situation, I would have said that my hand would have been shaking, that I'd sort of, you know, I'd probably trip over something, or, yeah, I'd be all nervous. I wouldn't be able to talk to the judges properly. And none of that happened. And I can only think that I was incredibly nervous in the build up to it. And, you know, there are lots of unknowns in that situation. You don't know who your sitter is going to be. You don't know what the production crew are going to be like. You don't know how that will all feel. You don't know whether you'll feel comfortable. So that was all horribly nerve-wracking. But the very odd thing was that once I started painting, and it, that sounds like, again, such a sort of cheesy thing to say, but once I started painting, I had been homeschooling my son for 10 weeks flat out before that, and I tell you, it was a joy to not be homeschooling and to be painting. And I think I was just so grateful. I think because, you know, the pandemic had been so difficult and had certainly meant that I had far less time to paint because of the children being at home and working. I think I just felt a huge amount of joy at being in that situation. I felt very lucky. And I just thought, I'm going to enjoy this experience because I'm allowed to paint here for the rest of the day. And then I'll never do this again. And what I hadn't appreciated was that I had to do it two more times after that. But in terms of, you know, the production crew were fabulous, made us feel very comfortable. The chats with the judges were, again, thinking about it in advance, I thought I'd be very nervous and find it very intimidating, but I genuinely enjoyed our conversations. I had some amazing chats with Ty Shan-Schierenberg, one of the judges, who's an incredible artist. And, you know, it was an amazing experience because to suddenly get this sort of critical eye on your work, and for an artist of that standing to be looking at your palette and saying, you know, how are you going to approach this? And suddenly, again, sorry, cheesy comment, but it's like we were just talking the same language, and it all felt like it just clicked into place. And it was a really moving experience because of that as well, because for all the years leading up to that, I struggled even to say to people that I am an artist. And I think that whole experience of being on that programme just really affirmed to me that this is what I'm meant to be doing. And it's not that I don't like my other job at all, I do, but this is my language, this is how I communicate. And there are other people, I realise, the other artists there on the day, the judges, there are other people who get that. And I haven't had those conversations before, and I just really want to have more of those conversations and immerse myself in this lovely world of art and people who love art and talk about art and think about art. So it was a good experience.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so pleased. There's so much more to anybody's journey, guests on this show, than just actually picking up a paintbrush or picking up a musical instrument. There's so much more that the new creative activity does for life.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of journeys everybody has, which is absolutely fabulous. And that's what we want to hear. So thank you so much for being able to share that.
Irene, again, Sally, sort of a motorway to the emotions. It's interesting that I don't know Sally's teacher at all, but there's just so much love in this painting, but also incredible loneliness and isolation. I think there was a sort of quiet loneliness in all of Sally's paintings, yeah, which I thought was incredibly poignant.
I mean, it's that pathos I was talking about earlier. There's a real sense of calm, of dignity, you know, of quiet achievement. I mean, we see it in Sally's portrait of Eddie as well. You know, the same faraway look. And I think she's also been really clever here with the composition. I think having that little shock of Eddie's dress sort of peeking through at the bottom and that pale pink of the neon, it sort of bounces your eye around an otherwise fairly still portrait.
I love the way that she puts paint down. She's almost sculpting them with the paint, getting the planes in. But through the process of doing that, she really does come up with something which has a real energy to it.
Thanks so much for listening to Creativity Found. If your podcast app has the facility, please leave a rating and review to help other people find us. On Instagram and Facebook, follow @Creativity Found Podcast And on Pinterest, look for @creativityfound. And finally, don't forget to check out creativityfound.co.uk, the website connecting adults who want to find a creative outlet with the artists and crafters who can help them tap into their creativity.